Governor Lamont signed a bill into law dubbed the Fallen Heroes Fund, but this is an expansion of the Fallen Officer Fund, which provides survivor benefits to the families of fallen police officers. This modified law now expands its availability to include the families of all first responders. That includes firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics. Joining us back on the show is Comptroller Sean Scanlon. And Comptroller, welcome back. I know you spearheaded the initial legislation of the Fallen Officer Fund. You had called for expanding it to all first responders. Let's first talk about what even made you want to focus on this population of people and their surviving family members, if God forbid they lose their lives doing their jobs.
Well, good morning. It's a personal issue for me in the sense that my grandfather was a firefighter. My dad and brother were cops. And so I come from a family of first responders. I know what it feels like to be part of a family that worries about loved ones when they leave to go to work every day because of the dangers associated with these jobs. And in the wake of the tragedy in Bristol, where we had two police officers who were killed in October of 2022, we began having some conversations in the state about whether or not we should put together a fund like this to support the families. You know, these people are literally in the worst moment of their lives. They've lost everything. They don't, in some cases, have money coming in. They don't have things like health insurance. And the whole genesis of the Fallen Officer Fund was to say, hey, we're going to be there for the people that are always there for us. And we got that done, and we proudly expanded it this year.
So, Comptroller Scanlon, I remember, obviously, everybody remembers what happened in Bristol, but I remember, you know, months after, there were obviously a lot of local charity events, certainly to support the families. But I think Tunnels to Towers was one of the, you know, more, I would say, I believe at this point would be called national, because even though it's more based in New York City, they have helped other states, certainly. But I exactly what you're talking about is the, you know, the well-being of those who are left behind. Unfortunately, you know, it does happen. You have people who are making the ultimate sacrifice by putting on that uniform and taking care of total strangers. And if they, you know, a line of duty death, you know, it doesn't just stop at the person who obviously lost their lives. It really is the trickle down impact, certainly, on the families. I mean, kind of talk a little bit about that and what sort of gets left behind after that tragedy.
Well, I mean, listen, anybody who has lost somebody knows that, you know, one of the more difficult things about somebody dying is all the costs that come out of nowhere, right? You got to pay for all these things. And that's the case for these first responders, right? You're right. There are programs that help these folks, and there's things like life insurance, and some towns offer, you know, pension benefits for these spouses, but all that takes a lot of time. And in the immediate aftermath of somebody's death, you got to pay your mortgage, you got to buy groceries, you got to plan a funeral, you got to, this is such a tragic thing to say, but it came out of Bristol, is you got to buy nice clothes for your kids to wear to their dad's funeral, right? One of the women was pregnant at the time when her husband was killed in Bristol. So there's just all these things that come up. And I don't think that anybody in our state thinks that we should have somebody having to worry about, you know, paying their Eversource bill or keeping their lights on when their husband or wife just lost their life in service to keeping our community safe. And that's the whole premise behind this, is just, can we take away what is an horrific time for these families? Can we take away one of the burdens on them? And I'm proud that we've done that. And with the expansion this year to the Fallen Hero Fund, we're doing that for, in addition to the police officers, firefighters and EMTs and paramedics. So every one of our frontline first responders, going forward, we will be there for their families in the event that they pay the ultimate sacrifice for our cities and towns.
And again, we have Comptroller Sean Scanlon here. We're talking more about the Fallen Heroes Fund. So let's get into the nitty gritty. I think I'm glad that we at least set the tone of why this is so important. I think the average person, I would hope, understands that. But let's get into what this legislation specifically looks like. So first of all, how much is in this fund, Comptroller?
Well, the first year we did it, there was $500,000, and then there was another $500,000. We had to use it twice in the first 20 months of it being in operations. Tragically, we lost a police officer in Hartford in 2023, and then we lost Trooper Pelletier in May of 2024. So the fund balance is $800,000, going into this biennium. We hope that we never have to use this, but if we do, there's plenty of money in there. And if, you know, some unspeakable tragedy were to happen and we were to be below the funding of that fund, I am incredibly confident that the legislature would appropriate more money to it, and we're never going to have to worry about that being a problem.
And I just want to make something super clear, because I'm sure this is going to be a question, but it's not retroactive to anybody. So remind me again, when did the officer fund go into place? 2023?
So the officer fund, it's kind of a complicated thing. The budget that was passed in 2023 instructed me as the comptroller to design this plan. And we did that, and that was enabled us to help the family of Officer Bobby Garten, who was the Hartford officer who was killed. But then in 2024, we actually put it in the design of the program that I designed into state law, and that took effect in 2024, and then this takes effect on July 1st. So it's not retroactive, unfortunately, but going forward, as of a couple days from now, any police officer, firefighter, EMT, or paramedic who's killed in the line of duty, we will help their family with an initial immediate, and when I mean immediate, I'm talking about within hours, in some cases, $100,000, and then we enroll their family in the health insurance plan that I run, which is, the largest insurance plan in the state. We've talked about this, you and I, before, for 5 years, and they don't pay for that. Again, this is all because we've learned lessons of what these families need in the aftermath of these horrible tragedies. And I'm proud that on a bipartisan basis, we've come together to put this program together, which I think is, when we looked around, my office did a little bit of research around what other states are doing. This is by far, I think, the most comprehensive, first responder assistance, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, certainly. And the reason I just want to make clear I was asking about retroactive is because this was actually a direct question we had gotten. Obviously, we did have a couple of unfortunate, but certainly this one that stands out, the unfortunate loss of Sharkey, Robert Sharkey
yeah.
Senior,
yeah.
Who was the volunteer firefighter during the fire in the fall of 2024. So the fallen officer fund was in place, but it hadn't expanded yet, obviously. And that part goes into effect in July 1st. So his family would not qualify for that. I just wanted to make that, clear to listeners.
No, and his family was there yesterday as the governor signed the bill, which was really nice to have them, as were the families of some other lost heroes in our state. Sharkey's death at that Hawthorne fire last fall, I think certainly was, one of the many reasons why I and others decided to expand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because each of these people puts their lives on the line. Obviously, we lose more police officers historically than firefighters, but we have lost 4 firefighters in the state of Connecticut in the last few years. And, I think it's just important that we make sure that everybody's family is covered, and, we'll be doing that going forward starting on July 1st.
So to just make it clear, Comptroller Scanlon, they can get up to $100,000?
They get a $100,000 payment.
So regardless, that's what they
regardless.
Get. Okay,
every
regardless.
Every single family.
Wow,
yep.
Wow,
yep.
Okay. And this is for, I would imagine, immediate family. You're talking about spouse, kids. What if it's somebody who was not married, did not have children? Like, does it go to the parents, or like it's whoever
yep.
would be in charge of their funeral funds, or?
Yeah, there's the law sort of sets out, a path here and explains all that, so. Obviously, if the person is married, it goes to the spouse. If the person is divorced, it goes to the children. If the person had no children or was, not married, then it goes to the family, the parents of the deceased. So, everybody who is in this situation is in a tough spot right after this, and we're going to be there for them. And the law lays out, what the exact order of operations is for that.
We've got Comptroller Sean Scanlon here, and we're talking about the Fallen Heroes Fund, which is an expansion of the Fallen Officer Fund, and it provides survivor benefits to the families of fallen first responders. That's police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics. Really quick, Comptroller Scanlon, because I will get this question all the time. Doesn't matter if they're career or volunteer firefighters. This is okay. Just making sure, because I get that question a lot. I hate to ask this question, but we do, as you know, we live in a world where, understandably so, people want to know that there's oversight when it comes to how money's being spent. Is there an entity like an attorney or somebody with the state vetting that this money is being used properly and going to the correct surviving person or going to the correct spending after losing a loved one in the line of duty?
Well, that discretion is given to me as the chief financial officer of the state of Connecticut. And we obviously are also the chief fiscal watchdog of the state. And I would hope that the people have confidence in my office's abilities as the person who literally spends every dollar of state money to also spend this in the correct way. The law is pretty clear, right, of what the circumstances are that somebody would be entitled to this money. There is a statutory definition in the law of what killed in the line of duty means, and it's pretty clear. It has to be an incident, an accident, or violence against one of these people. If there are gray areas, then you know we certainly look at them. But in this instance, I don't think there's much of a gray area here. And if there are, we'll certainly look at that. But the intention is when somebody is killed in the line of duty, as many of these first responders tragically have been, we're going to be there for their family.
Yeah, I think the question is more of not if the, you know, death is legitimate. I mean, exactly what you just said. I mean, there is no gray area. It's exactly what it is. More of if they don't have, which you and I kind of touched on before, you know, don't have kids, don't have a spouse, or even if they're, you know, living, you know, in another state and maybe they're not connected to their relatives as much. I guess the question from listeners is, do you talk to, for example, dear friends, the fire department, people who could say, you know, no, he or she did not have a close relationship to family or no, they're, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but, you know, we do see sometimes where when tragedy strikes, everyone comes out of the woodwork and, oh, that was my best friend since first grade. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people will take advantage of a sad situation for a handout.
That's not what has happened here. And again, I've had to do this twice in my tenure, and it's a very difficult thing. We're not just putting a check in an envelope and sending it to nowhere, right? We're working with, in the case of Hartford, the Hartford police chief, and in the case of the state police, the colonel of the state police, to identify what the exact family situation is and you know, what's going on there. Obviously, families are complicated. I know that better than anybody. My family, you know, my folks split up when I was six. So I get that this is a sensitive situation sometimes, but we always get to the right answer. We make sure the money gets to the right people. And I hope that the people of Connecticut have confidence that we're going to do that.
Yeah. And Comptroller Sean Scanlon, another question. This one's an interesting one from another WICC listener. Will DOT at some point be included in this fund? And the reason I think they're asking is obviously it wasn't that long ago that we lost 26-year-old Andrew DiDomenico, who was a DOT worker struck and killed by an erratic drunk driver. And so, wondering if you know, they at some point would be included, in this fund, or does that become where, you know, anybody, it becomes almost, I don't know what you would call that. But yeah, it was a good question, I thought. Would DOT workers ever get added to this?
So one of the tragic lessons that came out of Trooper Pelletier's death in May of last year was that he had served in state service for less time and he was not old enough to get a pension.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I immediately spoke to both the commissioner and the colonel of the state police about literally on the day that he died was this very issue. And I gave both them my word that day, and they gave me their word that we were going to figure this out and go to the governor with a plan to ensure that we would give pensions to the widows and children of killed state employees in the line of duty, even if they were not eligible, like alive person is eligible, right? Mm-hmm. We got that done. And so going forward, any state employee who's killed, whether they work for the DOC or the DOT or the state police, they do get their pension going forward. For Andrew DiDomenico, we did change another state law that is a similar benefit to the one that we're talking about for municipal workers, like the Fallen Officer Fund and the Fallen Hero Fund, to increase the assistance that we give to state employees who are killed in the line of duty. So we have made serious changes in the last 12 months to make sure that, you know, we are there for people who lose their life. But there are different programs for those who are in state service and those who are municipal workers. But what I would say, Melissa, is that we're doing everything we can to be there for anybody who dies in public service in Connecticut. And that goes for both our state employees that I directly work with every day and the folks that work in municipal police departments and fire departments across the state.
And to echo what you said before, Comptroller Sean Scanlon, it's also really nice to see there was very strong bipartisan support with this. And I was why I got kind of tongue twisted before is because, you know, certainly DOT, we've had that. But I know, like, we have very dear friends who work in DCF. They're in very dangerous situations. So it's nice to know, like, for state workers, certainly, who, again, are doing public service, that they, you know, have coverage for their families. And so I thank you for making this a priority, you and your office, and for getting this done. And like I said, to see bipartisan support is also really encouraging. So I appreciate it, Comptroller. Always appreciate your time.